Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope it encourages you to live and love like Jesus.
As we prepare to hear a message from God's Word this morning, I invite you to pray with me. Holy and Almighty God, we give thanks this morning again for this warm place, for all the hands and feet that prepared this space and this worship service for your glory. God, we are grateful for them. We are grateful this morning for your word. God, I pray that our hearts and our ears and our minds would be open to hear the message that you've crafted for each of us. God, I pray that we carry that word out into the world, that it might be transformed by your love as people meet you in us. God, I pray that this message would be a demonstration of your Spirit's power. These words would be your words, nothing of my own. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I was listening to my satellite radio on the way to work this past week in the morning. I listened to like the top 40 radio station, and they have a morning show, and there's three different hosts. And one of the hosts was telling about her recent experience on a plane. She was boarding the plane, and a woman who had gotten on before her had gone to the bathroom on the plane. And while people were boarding, she was trying to come back up the aisle to her seat. And the host was talking about how frustrating this was for her, and she couldn't figure out why did that lady not go to the bathroom before she got on the plane. And then the other hosts were trying to be kind and thinking of this woman and said maybe she had a connecting flight and she was rushing and didn't have time to stop. And so they threw this out to the callers, to the listeners, to say, whose side are you on? Is it okay to go to the bathroom when you first get on the plane, or should you take care of that before you get on the plane? And of course, people called in, and they were very committed to whichever side they were on. Some of them were very committed to the no way, it is never okay. You wait until everyone has boarded. This is ridiculous. You should go before. And then there were others who were like, well, you know, I mean, if you gotta go, I mean, it just happens sometimes. And so as I listen to that, it's lighthearted fun, and they do it a lot. One or the other of them has an experience, and so they throw it out and say, whose side are you on? But as I thought about that, and I was thinking about the scripture that we would hear this morning, I thought, it kind of points to a deeper cultural issue and identity for us, which is basically, as human beings, we really like to take sides. I mean, we like to take sides, to make an argument and say, I am right and you are wrong. And in our culture today, we've been taught not only to take sides, but then to get really angry at the people who don't agree with us. Angry. Our media and our social culture is all about getting us riled up at the people who don't agree with us. We have A versus B. And pick your side and get angry at the ones who disagree with you. And so as we finish our Quitting Church series this morning, where we've been exploring together the reasons that people give for their leaving the church or being done with church, we're going to talk about this idea that I didn't leave the church. The church left me. And what I think maybe underneath that is probably this idea. The church took the other side. That might be the local church, like Stonebridge. That might be the United Methodist Church, the denomination, or it might be the whole global Christian church. But in some way, the people who express this sentiment feel like in one area or more than one area, the body has taken the other side. But it's a little bit of a misnomer to say the church has left me, because we've been talking about for 6 weeks how the church is not just the institution or the place we go, but it's the body. And we're all a part of it. And I can't really leave myself. And so maybe it means just that the body, more than not, have taken the other side. And that's not new. for the church. This is not just plaguing us in the 21st century. In fact, our scripture for this morning will show us that this has been a struggle for the church from the beginning. So we're going to look at Paul's letter to the church in Rome. So we're going to turn to Romans chapter 14. If you have a Bible with you or a Bible app on your phone, I'd invite you to get that out and head over to Romans 14. And if you don't, you'll be able to follow along on the screen behind me. But before I jump into the middle of this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome, I want to kind of give you a little bit of information to help make a little more sense, which is that Paul's writing to this church, and in this particular part of the letter, he's addressing a taking sides issue. Because you have in the early church Jewish people who have been living by the Jewish law coming together with Gentile people who have not been living by the Jewish law and being knit together by the love of Christ. And so there was a lot of conflict surrounding what practices do we keep and which ones do we say you don't have to do. And one of those were the dietary restrictions, the dietary laws that you see in our Old Testament. And the Jewish Christians were saying, hey, or most of them were saying, hey, these things still count. This is our way of life. We don't eat meat that's been sacrificed to idols. That's not okay. And the Gentile Christians were saying, we know that Yahweh is the only God. What does this matter? And there were some Jews who maybe agreed with them. And there may have been some Gentiles that agreed with the Jews that we should keep the restrictions from the faith that Christ came to us in. But that's the conflict they're having. So when you hear Paul talk about eating meat or not, that's what he's addressing. Is this difference. He also talks about observing days or not, and that's about whether or not we attend festivals in the community that may not necessarily be talked about in our scriptures. So here is what Paul says to them about this taking sides issue, beginning in verse 1. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Get everybody together just so you can decide who's right. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain. And those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat. For God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgments on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also, those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each of us will be accountable to God. Food mattered to the early church. I think it's easy for us now, all these thousands of years later, to read that in Romans 14 and to kind of want to dismiss it and even laugh at it and be like, really? They're like arguing over whether they're going to be vegetarian or not. And that seems kind of insignificant to us. But it mattered deeply to them. Those Jewish Christians who are arguing that it's not okay to eat these different foods that have been sacrificed to idols. This is their life upbringing. They have lived under the law. They have seen the law as their way of being in relationship with Yahweh, with their God. And now these new people are coming in, this whole different culture, and they're doing things that are not okay. It mattered deeply to them. The Gentile Christians are coming into this whole other culture, and this is their community. This is the way they've been in relationship with neighbor. This is all they've ever known. These two sides are trying to come together, and this mattered to them. It wasn't easy for either side. Food threatened to divide the early church. But it's not really the issue as much as it is the human nature to take sides and to get angry and to insist upon being right. And it's not the black and white issues that divide the church. Those are easy to identify. The early church is not arguing over things like this. Murder, child abuse, adultery. These things are not done in the name of the Lord. And if they are, we can all clearly call them not Christian. They're not arguing over feeding people who are hungry and building homes for people who have no shelter and caring for the elderly among us. We can all clearly identify those as Christian. These are not the kinds of issues that seek to divide us. It's the gray issues. The things kind of in between. For the ancient church, that was this food issue. Are we going to eat the meat or are we not? Are we going to attend the festivals or are we not? For the 20th century United Methodist Church, it was women's ordination. What gray issues divide us today? Where are we taking sides and getting angry and insisting that we surely must be right? Paul doesn't take a side in Romans 14. In this scripture that I read, nowhere does Paul say, well, actually, the people who are eating the meat are right. Or, well, actually, the people who are continuing to follow the Jewish dietary restrictions are right. Because Paul isn't concerned with who's right. In this chapter of Romans, Paul is concerned with how we treat one another. Paul is concerned with how we see people on the other side. And do we see them as the children of God that he and we know them to be? So verse 3 has these two words in it that give us some instruction about how we behave and see and are in relationship with people on the other side of the gray issues. Here's what he said. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain. And those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat. For God has welcomed them. Now, if you're like me, you're reading this and Paul's saying, this is about you being in check with your conscience. Are you right with God? This is not about passing judgment on whether another person is right with God. If they're doing something in the name of the Lord and they believe they are convicted by their own conscience that what they're doing is right, then it's not your business to decide. And if you're like me, you hear that and you say, that's really fine on the dietary things, but then what about, we go back to the black and white issues. Is it okay to take life in the name of the Lord? Well, no. And we know that. And here's why I think we do that. Oh, I'm going to go back over here where it's really safe. Where I can be sure that I'm right. And I don't want to stand over here in the gray area and deal with this difficult issue or concern or conversation, it's easier to try to extrapolate and get back over there. But what if we stay right here? We talk about the gray issues that seek to divide us. Here's what Paul says we have to do with the other side. We cannot despise them or pass judgment on them. So I looked these words up. They are very strong words. This despise and pass judgment. Here's the definition for the word in the Greek that's despise. To show by one's attitude or manner of treatment that an entity has no merit or worth, in this case, a human being. To show by one's attitude or manner of treatment that the other person has no merit or worth. We also may not pass judgment, which is defined as to criticize or condemn, to make a decision about. So we don't get to look upon people on the other side as if they have no merit or worth. And we don't get to look upon people on the other side and make a decision about them and criticize and condemn them. This is the charge we have in Romans 14. But when it comes to the gray issues, love and kindness and mercy must guide our hearts. Does this mean that we don't call out injustice where we see it? Absolutely not. We know that the gospel calls us to work for justice, to help bring heaven on earth, that our Christ calls us to cross boundaries and to stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves. But Romans 14 tells us, even in the midst of that, we must see the people on the other side. We must see the people made in the image of our God. And we cannot look upon them as if they have no merit or worth. And we shouldn't make decisions about them to criticize, to condemn. Now, I admit, this convicts me. I told you the United Methodist Church settled women's ordination in the 20th century, but you all know that not every denomination allows women to be ordained clergy. And that's a reality that I live in my profession every day. And I meet people, and I am in faith alliances with people who are not on my side of that issue. And I admit to you, full confession, there have been many times when I've heard stories with my fellow clergy sisters, and I've called names and made fun and put down the people who are not on my side. It's a lot easier to despise and to pass judgment than to offer mercy and kindness, to see the people as children of God on the other side. But here's the thing. We don't get to dehumanize the other side. We don't get to take a group of people and make them a collective in our mind so that we don't have to see their humanity. We don't get to call names. We don't get to talk as if people are beneath us just because they don't agree with us. So I challenge each of us this morning to think, who is it that I've been despising, passing judgment on? In my church world, or my political world, my professional world, my social world, who am I despising and judging? Where is the Holy Spirit calling me to change my heart? Because here's the deal. Despising and judging, calling names and putting others down, that is not the privilege of the resurrection. Our privilege is the resurrection. And we don't get to use that to demean God's people our privilege as Christ followers is that we have been forgiven in the grace of God for our own shortcomings, for our own sin, for the times when we fail to be in relationship with God or with neighbor. We don't get to judge and despise because, as Paul said, God has welcomed them. The privilege of the resurrection is that we get to carry this great story out into the world about how Jesus has changed my life, to share it with other people, and hopefully that Jesus might change theirs too. So for all of our differences theologically, politically, and socially, we can all agree on this, that the resurrection is the most important thing. Jesus Christ and the resurrection is the most important thing. The gift of God's grace in our lives is the most important thing. No gray issue overcomes the cross, period. The gift of the resurrection is the most important thing we have to offer the world. And so we seek to bring justice where we see injustice. But may we never forget that the people on the other side are children of God. Paul didn't say that these two sides had to agree, that one had to become like the other. Paul just said, you may not despise or judge one another. And so in Jesus Christ, God has made a way for all of us to know God's love. We don't have the privilege of looking upon others and deciding their eternal fate. That's not the privilege of the resurrection. We don't have the privilege of showering those on the other side with contempt or hate to feed into the angry rhetoric that our culture calls us to carry. That is not the privilege of the resurrection. The privilege of the resurrection is our own sins being forgiven in the gift of God's grace. And that privilege calls us, just as Jesus did in the Gospels, to love our God, to love our neighbors, and yes, even to love our enemies. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30, either in our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in the bridge, which offers contemporary music in a relaxed, rejuvenating environment. For more information, visit our website at mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.